This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. You're listening to The Cowboys Podcast, presented by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, Jono and Steve-O.
Cowboy Nation, how the hell are you? We've got a great show here. No Steve-O, we've got Rodney, we've got Rich, and we got a fill-in here with Colleen. Hey guys, how are you guys doing today?
Doing well. Glad to be here.
Good. Glad to be here. Glad to be here.
Colleen, how you doing out there?
Doing real good. Glad to be here.
All right. Good, good. Hey, folks, if you haven't seen the latest news, what's been going on, we've got 20 free agents out there, unrestricted free agents, and I guess it's now, I think it's March 9th, we either sign them or we lose them. And I'm kind of excited about losing a couple of these guys too. You know how I feel about our cornerbacks. I think that's what we ought to emphasize.
We are definitely going to be looking to upgrade defense, linebackers, and defensive backs.
Do you really think linebackers, though, Rodney? We've got a crew of linebackers coming back, man.
It depends on what's available. I'm okay with Durant and McClain, but if there's someone that's better that's available, then yeah, I'm always going to be looking to upgrade at any position.
Right, right.
So,
what about you, Rich?
Well, that's what makes the off season and this deadline coming up so special is you never know what's going on with anybody else, and then also we're always wanting to upgrade, but then again, you can't break the bank at the same time. So, it's really tough. But I do agree with the cornerbacks. We've got to do something with the secondary to stiffen that up a little bit.
And we got the option, though. We have free agency and the draft. So, it doesn't have to be one or the other. But, yeah, I think we'd all agree that we're looking to upgrade the defense first.
Colleen, your thoughts?
I think they'll keep those that they can keep cheap. They're not going to break the bank on any of them. They're not going to spend any big money to keep anybody. I'd like to see them keep Church, though.
I like Church.
Yeah, short deal probably if we can get him for a 1 or 2 year deal. He's getting a little bit older, but yeah, if we can keep him on a shorter contract, I'd be all for that too. I like Church.
And you mentioned a minute ago linebacker. I really think we're going to be stacked there with Jalen Smith right there coming back. He had that injury, but God darn it, he looks damn good.
Yeah.
That boy looks like a moose right there running at 20, 40-yard sprints. He looks like he's getting ready right now to go. What a steal that was, too. I got to commend our Hall of Fame owner, Jerry Jones, for making these type of plays. All I did was rip on him. I thought we needed a DB before the season last year. And you know what? I wanted that kid that went to Jacksonville. Already I forgot his name.
So is
everyone else. That's exactly right.
But we went that route with a running back. And, I said this could be real crazy, but it worked out so damn good.
Wasn't that crazy how that works out? Just like any sport and anything, you pick the right guy, you're a hero, and then pick the wrong guy, you're a goat. I mean, it just happens.
Could it be the best draft ever for the Cowboys?
If Jalen Smith turns out, yeah.
Colleen, what do you think there?
I think it's going to be one of the best.
Well, now you said one of the best. Now, who? I guess Pittsburgh in the early 70s, they produced like 4 or 5 Hall of Famers from that draft pick that they had. But besides that, I'm telling you, if this Jalen Smith turns out to be a diamond in the rough, I mean, Jesus, what a hell of a draft we've had last year.
Oh, yeah.
Health being the X factor. We all think that he'll be healthy and ready to go. Let's hope so, because if all the physical talent is there. So as long as he's healthy, he'll be exactly what we're looking for.
He was going to be a projected top 3 pick if this guy was healthy. The Cowboys took a chance with him second round, thinking that we're not going to see this again in the third round. Someone's going to go after him. So you know what? We went and got him, and I think it was a great investment. And you look at the others that we've done too. We picked up offensive linemen that people said, you know what, he's hurt, and we'll take our chances. Another top 100, top first round picks. What was it? Collins was his name.
Ron Collins.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. Anyway, one thing I want to bring up, I'm going to throw back a little rewind on the tape here. How the hell does T.O. not get in the Hall of Fame? Are you kidding me? This guy's played with broken bones.
Just look how long they made Charles Haley wait to get into the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah, that's wrong, too.
Year after year after year, but...
No, Colleen, I agree with you, but I'm saying it's wrong, though. Colleen?
You cut her off.
No, I'm just saying that it's wrong. The guy's in the top five in every category, and then you're telling the guy, you weren't a good player in the locker room. Yeah, you weren't you didn't wear that suit the right way entering the field, or you didn't come on. What the guy did on the field was unbelievable. And you're telling me this guy doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame? Yeah. You guys are looking at each other like you don't agree with me on this.
I'm thinking about the pom-poms and the Sharpie and the popcorn.
That's the problem. His reputation is holding him back.
I'm kind of hungry for some popcorn right now.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, it's just...
his off-field antics and some of his on-field antics...
But
like
what?
After he left the Cowboys and
right.
Then came back to play and ran out on the star.
Well, that was before. That was when he was a Niner.
Yeah.
But it's a knucklehead move, right? You know what I mean? Like,
it's self above team,
that.
And I think that has a lot to do with it. Just,
yeah.
It's instead of the team, it's a me with Terrell Owens. And I'm not saying he won't get in, but they're going to make him wait and just to see how he plays it out and, you know, what he says.
The Hall of Fame committee really takes pride in, like, if you're a first ballot Hall of Famer, you've got to be the – not just the cream of the crop, but the ultimate cream of the crop. Like, it's something to be said to be a first ballot Hall of Famer in the NFL.
Excellent, Rodney.
So does that take the notion of you have to be good off the field, too?
Well, I think it's the big C, character. You know, you're a character player on and off the field, through and in and out. And as Rodney said, that's a great point. I think the Hall of Fame, their ballot committee really takes into the whole player. On field, off the field, what you're doing for charity and all those other things, because that's the character of the player. And I agree with that.
You know what? I'm disagreeing with all three on this, and I'm telling you right now, I want my player out there. And there was no I in us or we or what. I mean, the guy went out there every week and performed like he was supposed to. The guy played with a broken leg. He played with a broken finger. Everyone that takes a shot at him, I get it. So you don't like him and all, but what he did on the field was exceptional.
I'm going to disagree slightly. Just in from my perspective, I can't exactly cite exact instances, but there's a lot of times where he wouldn't go back to the huddle. He kind of pouted and did a lot of other things on the side that drove me crazy. When he was in Dallas, I'm going to be honest. Like, it drove me bonkers to watch him do that stuff.
Yeah, always chirping in the receiver coach and the offensive coordinator, and it's me. And that drove me nuts. I mean, you can't take away from his performance on the field as far as his commitment to play. And when he got the ball, he was a heck of a playmaker. And he did play through injury, that broken ankle when he was in Philadelphia in the Super Bowl against the Patriots. You know, that was commendable. But then again, you got to weigh it all out.
Right. The bad, it probably outweighed the good
at this decision right now.
And now they will let him in. They're just going to make him sit back and wait.
And humble him.
Do the same thing to give him.
And just
hopefully.
Humble him,
I don't think anybody's ever going to humble him.
then I don't understand the whole content then. Because if you're trying to do is say, hey, you know what, I belong in the Hall of Fame and have him come more or less not knocking at the door, maybe just on his knees trying to get in the door. Is that what you were saying here, folks? Because I definitely think the guy did everything he was supposed to do as a player. I would take him on any of my teams. As a wideout.
Over any other receiver? Like, I mean, that's subjective.
Look, if we're talking, though, Michael Irvin wasn't – he wasn't a pedestal of a type of player
off the field.
Off
sure,
the field.
Well, none of those guys were. They had their issues, sure, off
but
the field.
But this guy off the field, he doesn't drink. He never did any drugs. All he did was take care of his body.
But and you're right about that. It was just a different era.
By the way, I meant to say pedestal.
I don't know
what the hell I said there. I was drinking something at the time, sorry about that.
We were trying to cover for you, John, because we don't know either.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I spoke so fast. Boom, there you go.
Boom, there it is.
I ruined pedestal.
It was a different era. The social media, you know what I'm saying? And that's it's unfortunate, and I hate to blame it on that because character is character. But, you know, back in the Irvin day, we didn't have Facebook, Twitter, and all the social media channels now that we do, which one thing, it exploited T.O. in a positive way because – you know, tweets went everywhere. He was, what is it calling when you're, what's a tweet thing? Help me out here.
I'm not a Twitter.
Twitter,
there, Rich.
Tweet.
No, you're.
A twit.
You might want to get a hold of Trump.
Come
for
on.
That one. He loves the
you're
tweet.
You're the trending.
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 That's it. There
trending.
You. Boom.
Trend,
mic drop. Trend.
Trend.
Tweet. Anyway, so he was
pedestal.
Always trending. You know, trending. Pom-poms or whatever he was doing. They didn't have that thing stuff available back in the day of Irvin. Irvin was behind the scene. That's making light of what he did was right, but on the field he showed up, and that's pretty much what all people saw.
Yeah, I mean, off the field, we're talking about, well, he's not this and he's not that. But you know what? What the hell did the guy do off the field? He didn't do much. He didn't go out looking for parties. He didn't go shoot anyone at a nightclub.
No,
and he's in the Hall of Fame too. If you want to know his name.
Oh, don't go there. He did not. He did not. I guess, on the field, but off the field, it was during games, like you said, dissing the star there and the pom-poms, the popcorn, the Sharpie, just being me, right, instead of being we.
All right. There's that motivational thing out of
it. It's true, though, and I come from the same perspective. He did enough on the field that pissed me off that I didn't like him by the time he left.
All right.
Well, I hope all three are wrong on this one.
He'll get in. It's just not, you know, it's not going to be first ballot.
We're right now, right?
Right, yeah. Whenever he gets in, I'll say he was the best thing ever, and we'll move on.
They'll nominate him. They'll nominate him every year.
As well they should, yeah.
Yeah. And then finally they'll let him in.
I'd like to know what...
And he'll be happy.
I'd like to know what jersey he comes in with. Because he didn't get along with the 49ers at the end.
That was his longest stay. I mean, I get.
Is it his wish what jersey he goes in with, or is it the NFL that comes up with that?
I thought it was the player.
Well, I'm
not 100% sure on that, but I think it's the player. Cowboy.
I think the Cowboys would be great with him.
No, it's up to the player.
Yeah, I think
Charles
it's the player.
Haley didn't go in as a Cowboy.
Right.
Yeah, that's more
it's unfortunate.
After your story with him and Jerry at dinner, whenever he told him you're not a part of this plan, you think he'll just jump in? And
that's
say,
true
absolutely,
too. That's
I'm a Dallas
true
Cowboy.
Too. That's true too. By the way, did you guys know that my buddy went to golf at this Cowboy course that Jerry put together? And they get to golf free rest of their life. If you played one down as a Cowboy. You can golf there anytime you want, and it's can you see Terrell Owens taking full advantage of this?
out there with his chair doing sit-ups without a shirt on in the middle of the fairway.
He's a specimen, though, dude. I'll tell you right now, that guy is cut like a horse. Even now, you say, wow, I'd like to see him still back out there. He can still – I'm telling you, there's one player out there. Yeah, go ahead, Colleen.
Wasn't he still going to the pro days up until just a couple of seasons ago?
Yeah, I definitely think guy could have had.
I think he was, and didn't he play in the Arena League for a while?
No, I don't. I never heard that.
I think he did.
He did play Arena.
Yep.
Boy, that's.
I thought he did.
I thought he did too.
Yeah, that's some lost chapters there on.
This
Terrell.
Was the last few years, just trying to make a comeback.
I guess the fans didn't want to hear about that one. So what's your take, Colleen? I've got the 20 free agents here. Kellen Morgan, obviously. Mark Sanchez, not a chance in hell. Lance.
Well, now, wait a minute.
Wait a minute. Yeah.
You know.
What? No, don't tell me you're going to keep him, Colleen.
There's a laugh.
No. I hate to say this. I think Mark Sanchez is gone. But I wouldn't be surprised, not that I want this to happen, but I wouldn't be surprised if they hung on to Kellen Moore.
Yeah. I think you make a good point there.
Cheaper alternative. They have to have a third quarterback.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Kellen Moore stays. Not a chance in hell. Sanchez leaves. Lance Dunbar is a very interesting call.
I agree.
What type of impact has he brought to us, though?
Not as much last year, but in previous years, I think he was an integral part. But.
And now all of a sudden we're having talks with, I don't know how it happened again, but now Adrian Peterson is now.
It's not going to happen.
He's not coming.
It's not gonna
happen. Well, what the hell are they talking about then? Because you know, you're hearing right now that Adrian Peterson is a big talk around Dallas where they're.
That's just media.
Clickbait.
That's me, exactly. You're right, Colleen. That's clickbait.
Colleen, talk to me here because you see
no
the same thing that I seen too.
It's clickbait. It's just they don't have anything else better to write about, so they're going to write some story like that so that you'll click on it, read it, and
talk about
they get
it.
Paid.
Sell it to advertising.
Damn it, so I wasted 5 minutes of my time on that.
Never
one,
getting
right?
it back. Gone.
Gone. Okay, well, then, you know what, though? It's interesting, though. If Adrian Peterson says, you know what, I want to play on a Super Bowl team, and I don't mind being the backup, now what do you do? Yeah, you've got our guy here, McFadden, who's a free agent anyway. I mean, it's something to think about, guys. I'm just throwing this out there. If he says, you know what, I've made my money in oh, okay. No, none of you are looking at me in a positive way here. This is the same crap I just seen 2 minutes ago with T.O. in the Hall of Fame.
Well, I can't help how I feel, Jono.
All right, so
you're 0-2 right now, Jono.
Yeah, we got a lot of show left too.
Well, that's you guys. That's you guys blowing the topics here. I'm trying to draw something out, and all I'm getting is
wrong answer.
Like I'm on the little yellow bus or something. All right, let's move on here.
So before we go past the running backs, are you saying is this like an either or? Keep one, let the other one go.
I'm just asking about Lance Dunbar. Now he's a free agent. He will be a free agent March 9th. Do you sign this guy? Or I don't see any impact at all whatsoever out of Lance Dunbar that makes me want to keep him. Colleen, let's start with you.
I don't think they'll keep him unless you're going to get him really dirt cheap.
And I don't think Dunbar will be I think he'll be okay with that. I don't see Dunbar putting up a fight saying, no, I would like to have $1,750,000. No, I think they're going to say you're going to get 500G, like it or not. That's what it's going to be.
No, they can't pay him that.
Yeah. Oh, they can't pay him 500?
No.
That's too low.
Don't you know?
No, I don't know salary. This show's based on fans. We
oh
don't know
my
anything.
Goodness, you don't know salary?
That's why you're
you
here,
know,
Colleen.
You do know that there's a base salary.
Well, give it to us. Not all our fans know the base salary. I don't know the base salary. What is the base salary?
Oh my goodness.
There we go. Now I'm going to have all these trolls get on the Cowboy Podcast show on my Facebook and just rip on me now.
Jono let his agent.
You know what?
He let his agent handle all the finances.
Well, honestly, a lot of people don't know about it, but
you expected me to know.
But there is a base. There is a base salary, and for rookies, I don't know what it's up to now. I haven't looked at this year's increases, but around $680,000.
What about the veterans like Dunbar?
Well, that's exactly it. So rookies get paid, they have to get paid a minimum of the $680,000. Then
that's not too shabby.
Once they are a second year vet, it goes up, and then a third year
goes up,
and anything over 5 years goes way up.
Okay, so he would be like a fifth-year player now, wouldn't he?
I think he... it's based on how many games you play, not on how many years you've been in. Because you can be a rookie even though you've been in the NFL for a year.
Mm-hmm.
Because you didn't play but maybe one game.
All right.
So, this is getting too complicated. Or three games.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Okay. I'm going to say drop him. Drop him. Let's just drop Dumbo. That's what I'm saying on that. I'm going to say.
Yeah, they're
going
to have to pay him. They're going to have to pay him a minimum, and it is going to be over $1 million.
Oh, I'm not paying him that. Hell no, I'm not paying him.
John, I just cut him.
I just cut him, and now we got Darren McFadden. I say keep him. Let's not get rid of Darren McFadden.
He'll be even more expensive, probably.
What do you mean?
Oh, he's older. He's more of a veteran. I don't know. Like, what did he make last year?
I don't think he made that much last year.
We got him on a two-year
deal,
contract.
Right? That's what I thought it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had him on a two-year contract.
It wasn't like Stop the Press's contract either, you know? I mean,
no.
No.
All right. So, you know what? What do you guys say? Keep McFadden? Are we getting along today at all with any of these damn things I bring up here, folks?
I will find. Yes, let's keep McFadden.
All right. We got one here. What about you? Yeah, he's shaking his head. Colleen.
We'll see how it weighs out.
Again, this is one of those, like, so far on the list, like, what else is out there? Is there something better that is out there? I don't know what the alternative is currently, and neither one of them do it for me, like, just on paper, so.
You're talking about a third down.
Right.
Running back,
okay.
So.
I see where this is going, too, so, all right. We'll dump him, too, guys. I kind of like Butler because of the fact that now we got Terrence, Williams may be walking. He may be going wherever Romo goes. Romo already said, I love this guy. I'm going to throw the ball to him. That's where I would go if I was him. So, you know what? I'm kind of saying to Butler, can you hang on? Can you just hang on? Because if things go like this or things go like that, I may be signing you back on here. How about that? You will be wearing the star again, son. Huh? I like the sign, Butler.
I like Butler. I think he's got bigger upside. He showed me just enough last year that there's some potential there.
Right.
We kind of know what Terrence Williams is. He's a serviceable wide receiver.
Sure.
He's not a number one. He's kind of a borderline number two, in my opinion.
Right.
You know, so I think there is some more upside in Butler, though. He's very athletic.
Right.
Very athletic. They got to develop him a little bit better.
That's that exact point. Develop his route running, his work ethic, all those things. But I think, I don't think you can lose with him.
And I think what Terrence has got to learn to run out of bounds sometimes. I think that would really help us out.
It would help.
Learn a little time management.
Time management.
Then we got Escobar. I love Escobar. I don't think we should give up on Escobar. I think Escobar can be a hell of a tight end in the future. I just like to keep Escobar. Can I get a little love on this one?
I'm with you on that one, Jono.
I like Escobar. I think, again, he's one I feel like we kind of know what he is.
Right.
I don't see him as a breakout number one tight end, I guess, possibly.
He's not a Jason Witten, for sure.
Right,
but,
and it's tough to know exactly because he's been playing behind Jason Witten forever, and Jason Witten is a Hall of Fame tight end, so it's hard to know. But
first ballot inductee,
if we can keep him, I'll keep him. And I want to keep Jono happy, so I'll keep Escobar.
Thank you. And Colleen, you'll keep Escobar as well, won't you?
Sure, I'll let you have Escobar.
Thanks, pal. I really wanted Escobar.
Unless somebody else comes up.
I'm with you on that.
Well, we're not taking Martellus Bennett back. I never liked him to begin with.
No, now that he was a Patriot and won a Super Bowl, no.
All right. Then we got Jonathan Cooper, which I have no idea who the hell he is. He could be a long snapper.
Next.
Is he the long? I like long snappers, though, folks.
I have no
idea.
I don't know his name, but I like the long snapper.
Then we got Larry. I think we keep Larry.
I would like to find a scenario where we could do that. Yeah,
yeah, that's going
to
be tough.
It's going to be tough, yeah.
Well, you're freeing up all this money with Romo.
Yeah, but you have to. The salary structures are so, it's so much more complicated because you have slots for positions, and you know it's not a wide receiver is not the same as a left tackle or a right guard or all these other things. So it's I don't know. It's hard for us to do that. I'm not a mathematician. I know Jono's not. Rich. No.
2 + 2 = 5.
Colleen, you're our stats and
2 + 2 = 5. There we go. Too many concussions.
What do you think, Colleen, on Larry?
You're gonna have to pay him to keep him, and you know his thing was before he wanted to leave, he asked to be traded.
Why that? No good. He wanted to leave the Star. Are you crazy?
Well, that was before he got some starting playing time, though. Once he got a taste of that, it might have changed it a little bit.
Taste of the big time.
By the way, I love the studio today. This scene that we have right now with
I'm liking it.
These big TVs with all the 50-yard line with the Star, it's outstanding. It's like I'm right there.
Yep.
It's like I'm right there, ready to run the ball back.
Ready for T.O. to come out and spike it on the Star, right?
Right. Sir, T.O. loved Dallas. He really did. Did you see him cry for Romo?
I did.
I mean, that's respect there.
I did.
He didn't cry for Donovan.
He thought it was an endorsement deal, but I did.
Donovan was a pure type of guy that just wanted all the fame in Philadelphia, and he was all greedy about it, and that's why he did that to poor T.O. Very happy it went down like that because then he became a Cowboy. Anyway, moving on here, we've got linebackers. Now, here's an interesting one. We got our defensive tackles. I don't know. We're kind of weak on this position, though. We got Crawford there. And I think unless you're depending a lot from the draft, wouldn't you want to keep something like this? I mean, wouldn't you want to keep a guy like this on your defensive tackle
position? You're probably gonna have to, because you got to structure in other players and salaries. But
again, there's only so much money to go around, and Jono's giving it all away. So
And again,
I just gave a couple bucks to Escobar and my McFadden.
Right, and again, is there someone better than Terrell McClain out there? Probably, but what's the cost?
Right.
Well, no, I didn't say McClain, but that's a very interesting one too because I definitely like to keep him too. I'd like to keep both of the defense tackles, but Crawford was the defense tackle I was talking about there. You know what? We could go on all 20, but Church would be one to consider. Do we keep or do we let go? And what's interesting?
I would keep.
I'm with you 100%.
But I got to tell you guys, we could get a dime a dozen on safeties. I mean, I'm talking cornerbacks is where we're weak at. Our cornerbacks.
Yeah, but they're going to. Yeah. I expect them to pick up a cornerback, actually, in the draft. From the way they're talking, we're not going to see a lot of activity in the free agency. And they're going to let anybody who wants to walk, walk. They are not going to get in a bidding war over any of these players. And
you're talking primarily on the defense, Colleen, or overall?
Yep.
Primarily on the defense?
Overall.
Okay.
Overall, they're going to let anybody walk who wants to walk. They're not going to jump in there with a big salary for any of these guys. And, you know, if they're willing to take pretty much the basic salary, and I do have those numbers for you for 2017 now. But if they're willing to take the basic salary with the minimum benefits that they're allowed, they'll keep them. But otherwise, they're going to let them walk. And their plan is to pick up players in out of the draft. We're going to see more defensive players picked up out of the draft. But if an offensive player pops up and he's good, don't expect him to pass on him.
Now, what position are you talking about there?
Any position.
Any position on offense? We're stacked on the offensive line.
I know, but if one pops up,
one piece,
I don't care who he is, they won't pass on him.
Well, and the Cowboys have the leverage to say, look, you know, we're a Super Bowl contending team. Play for us. Yeah, you may make a few bucks somewhere else, but you come to us, you know we're going to make the playoffs, and we're going to make a Super Bowl bid and run for the next several years. So how important is a Vince Lombardi trophy to you?
Yeah.
So I think that's leverage.
I think she brings up something interesting.
They're going in.
Yeah.
They're going in with the idea that we need defensive players. It's just like every year they go in with the idea we need these players. But, I mean, they hadn't planned on taking Jalen Smith.
Okay.
But he was there.
Would you then...
So why pass on him?
Would you then... Now I'm asking you and I'm asking my panel here. Would you now say, okay, I'll get rid of my Butler. I'll get rid of my Terrence Williams. I'll go get a player like a Marshall or someone, another porterhouse of a steak on the other side of the compliment Dez on one. And I mean, can we get another four-star type of wideout on the other end now? And we have them out there.
I think we could. I think that you're going to end up being deficient somewhere else if you spend that money on a Brandon
100%.
Marshall.
I think 100% there. Yeah. If it pops up and if it's there, we'll take it. But other than that, you've got your shopping list, and it starts with the defense.
Right. And as far as the free agency goes, you don't expect to hear them anything out of the Cowboys in the free agency when it starts. They're going to wait towards the end of it, see what's left over, and take the cheap guys.
Yeah, they don't have to
plug
there's
and
no
play.
Need to be desperate. I mean, we've got some holes to fill, but we don't need desperation here. We've got a championship caliber team here, so we don't need to get desperate.
Well, what we've seen with our defense towards the end of the season, I mean, we were well exploited there by Green Bay.
Well, we've got some holes to fill, no doubt about it. In the secondary, we talked about that, but
our pass rush really showed.
It's been nil the last couple of years.
You know what? We got excited for a few weeks here, a week here, but in general, that was one thing that we were worried about. And if we're going to rip on our cornerbacks, which we should. They pretty much had a good season. They were like ranked number one our DBs in one listing. But I'm just saying to you, our defensive line had to put some pressure on.
Right,
when the Cowboys were really good, it was because a one man came to the team and named Charles Haley.
Yep.
As soon as he got to Dallas, that was our pass rush. As soon as he became a Cowboy, then you've seen a lot of things happen for the Cowboys in general.
A good pass rush is going to help cover up those deficiencies you have in your DBs.
Anytime you force the quarterback to get rid of the ball early, it's going to make everybody look good.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So,
yeah.
And then, of course, you know, the offenses have to plan around that. So, you know, they're going to circle him. You know, Charles Haley, 94 here. Where's he lining up? Somebody's got to have a bead on him. So you bring in an extra blocker. You reset the formation with the back end.
It always helps.
It
ruins the complete offensive line theory of you got this
guy. Well, it's almost instead of 11 on 11 there, you take away an extra guy to block this guy.
Right.
So it makes the whole team look better.
Sometimes Haley even took on three guys.
Yeah. Just think about how much better our defense would have been last year if we would have had a consistent pass rush.
Yeah.
You know, for all of our deficiencies on that side of the ball, we still ended up pretty good as a unit. Now we got exposed in the playoffs, but, you know, throughout the course of the season, just think about how good we could have been with a pass rush.
Well, we got exposed. I mean, Aaron Rodgers got hot and then just went off and, you know, making passes out of his mind and everything else. So, it happens.
In any case, we have 22 – it's going to be interesting how many of those players we re-sign. So that's what I got.
Right.
Anyway, Colleen, I think our segment, it's always great having you on our show. What do you got going now rest of the week?
Well, I'm going to make a trip into Dallas and kind of check some things out. And I'm still here in Texas.
Beautiful.
So
I wouldn't leave. It's damn cold out here in St. Louis. You don't know how. I can't understand. It's like 60 one day, 15 the next day, and I got my smart little girl in high school going, "It's all global warming, Dad. It's happening again." And I'm like, no.
Saturday,
it's just damn cold one day, hot cold.
That's the Midwest.
Yeah.
Saturday, it's going to be 81 degrees here.
81. But you know what? You don't have any blue water around you either, do you? We have the Mississippi River.
That's not blue. That's black.
All right. You just picture it a little blue. I mean, it's a little brown here. The water's a little
maybe
brown.
Maybe brownish black.
All right, it's brownish black.
We do have a little 20-acre lake right here, and it gets pretty
icy. Nice. That's nice. All right.
I'm sure it's cleaner than the Mississippi River.
Well, Colleen, it's it's great talking to you, buddy, and we'll talk to you next week. We'll get you back on. We'll have Steve-O talking about my sausage fingers like he always does. I can't believe it.
Where's he at? Is he on assignment again?
Well, he's not here, and you brought him up.
he's not here this week. He's out talking about the State Farm guy with the net.
Allstate.
In the end zone.
Allstate,
whatever. I don't know.
Unbelievable.
All right. I'll talk to you later, Colleen, from our group here. We'll see you.
Bye, Colleen.
Bye, Colleen. Take care.
Okay, bye, guys.
And that was Colleen, my friends. She brings out a great stuff.
Colleen's great.
She's got the numbers, doesn't she?
She has the numbers.
I honestly thought for sure she's going to be on the bandwagon with me about Terrell Owens being in the Hall of Fame.
I didn't see it.
I don't think there's many people on that bandwagon, John.
Get out of here. He was the best receiver in the game.
Oh, God.
You guys
Colleen's the numbers woman there. She's got all the things that the three of us can't add.
Well, I'm telling you, numbers-wise, Terrell Owens belonged in the Hall of Fame. There's nothing.
Let's not go numbers anymore.
Just not first ballot is all we were. That's what Rich and I were saying.
You guys just want him to be humble about getting into the Hall of Fame and not expecting to be in the Hall of Fame, right? I know how you guys
operate. I want him to sit home and eat some more popcorn.
Yeah, that was great, by the way. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed when he threw the popcorn in his helmet. I really liked that. It really showed a lot of Bush Johnson with the gun slinging.
Texas six-shooter in the California Quake. That was old Butch. He didn't have any popcorn back then. I don't think Sharpies were around either.
Yeah, they didn't have Sharpie. Matter of fact, you know what? I kind of marked on myself with a damn Sharpie. It took me like 3-4 days to get the damn thing off.
That's why they call it permanent marker.
Well, that's kind of frightening here. It's a
the
permanent
NFL
marker.
Doesn't apply to that. Not for long. It's there for long.
Yeah. We knew not for long was going to happen.
Surprised it took this long. I like it. Well, the way he weaved it in there.
You guys nailed it last week. That was pretty good, Steve-O, the appendix not for long.
He had been thinking about that for about 3 days, how he was going to come up with that, how he was going to weave that in there.
That was good, though.
Well, guys, our next segment is our Fan of the Week, and this is a guy that I kind of looked around to see who is out there making a lot of noise in the Dallas fan base and all that, and I found Travis Johnson. Travis Johnson out there, he's a big-time Cowboy fan, and I told him, hey, I reached out to him, I go, hey, how about being a Fan of the Week on our show? And he said, I'd love to do it. So, hey, Travis, you out there?
I'm here, brother.
All right, Travis.
Well, that's a wide receiver name. Travis, were you a football player? Travis Johnson?
I used to play football, former football player.
There you go. That's a football name.
All right. Well, now the curiosity is killing me. Were you a receiver? Because he said you were a receiver.
No, I actually –
yeah.
I played a little receiver, but mostly halfback.
All right. Okay. That works. That plays.
I kind of played halfback there for when I was a peewee football.
Halfback.
All right. I was a holeback. I was two backs put together.
You're a halfback in your mom's womb.
When did you ever only eat half of something, Jono?
All right. Okay, Travis. Ignore them.
Half a sack.
So how you been, partner? How's things going?
Man, we just going, recuperating after a tough season, tough end to the season with a lot of good things on the horizon. You know, DC4L for life. You know how that goes in Cowboy land. So we just anticipating and counting down for next season's kickoff.
Hey, I want to ask you this, though, Travis. I asked our guys this before and kind of got mixed feedback about it. Do you think the season, the way it ended, was it we had a good season or a great season. Which would you put it on there? I mean, which one would you look at as did we succeed in some sense, or did we just – this was the best team. Even when you watched the Super Bowl, Atlanta taking on New England, you were kind of thinking to yourself, This is the team that could have beat New England.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
So what's your call on that?
Well, my call is this. After a 4-12 season, you know, all the hopes and dreams going down the tubes with Tony Romo, I wouldn't call it a great season, but it was definitely pretty damn good. You know, you get a fourth-round QB from out of anywhere. You know, no one could have predicted he was going to be where he was going to be. Zeke with Zeke, you know, everybody expected that, but I don't think anyone expected Dak Prescott to come in and fill the shoes the way he did. All the talks that I heard from the beginning was, hey, can he just keep us afloat until Tony comes back, until Tony comes back.
Right.
All I know is we had multiple quarterbacks last year that couldn't get the job done. You got a fourth-round pick comes in. He sets all types of records this year. So it's got to be a good season and definitely a teaser for next season.
I totally agree with you.
Well said.
One thing I do like to say, if I'm the athletic director of Mississippi State, I kind of fired a football coach there. Because if I got mediocre play out of Prescott, and this is the kind of caliber I had, I'm firing your ass.
You got to go.
You got to go.
Yeah, you got to go.
Because every day, those guys sat there and watched the Cowboys play every weekend. They're like, damn, what the hell is this player that we didn't
Who's
have?
Who's this guy? What?
He played on your team. Yes, he did. But your coach kind of screwed things up there. So we're going to have to fire.
There was something about him I didn't like.
What do you think about, I would have to say, Dak getting Rookie of the Year. Do you look at Dak getting Rookie of the Year, or do you look at Zeke more? I mean, it's a toss-up, really. Which one would you go there?
It's a toss-up. It's, you know, it's one of those things where you really can't go wrong, but if you look at the whole scope of things again, first off, you got to go back to the top of everything. If Kellen Moore doesn't go down, then none of this takes place. And even after that, you know, we go out, we grab Sanchez, we know what he was about or lack thereof, and still, you got this guy coming in and he just gets the job done every week. He's poised. Like I said, with Zeke, he's a number four pick. So you expect that from him, or if not, greater things coming out of Ohio State, all the things he's done in his career. But with Prescott, each week, the thing that irritated me the most is every week it was they didn't play anybody or this team isn't going to be a challenge. And by midseason, definitely after the Pittsburgh and the Green Bay game, it's like now we're the challenge. Dallas is the challenge for these other teams. And when you look at what Prescott did, you know, four interceptions on the season, again, being poised, maintaining, running that offense, that huddle full of all of those distinguished veterans, you got to give the kid Rookie of the Year just simply for the fact that he was able to maintain his poise, his gameplay, his game management each week with everything coming against him. You know, he go out and he has a great game, and the first question we ask, or the first question the media asks is this Tony's team? You know, and right away he responds, this is still Tony's team. He goes back out next week and he does a great job week after week after week. You know, it's kind of sad that they couldn't give co-rookie of the year or split it up, and I understand you give Matt Ryan offensive player of the year and the MVP, but not to slight Zeke. If it was me, you give Zeke offensive player of the year, you definitely stick with Dak as rookie of the year, because I would think that guy, if he gets rookie of the year, he makes your team better. And I truly believe if Romo's under center with Zeke in the backfield, we're still pretty good. But again, when number nine went down in that preseason game, I'm sure everybody cringed a little bit thinking about that 4-12 season. And with that being said, I mean, it got to be Prescott. Just got to be.
Well, that is well said.
The quarterback position, you know, it's feast or famine there. It's, you know, Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. You always list the quarterback first. So you're the
correct.
You're the hero or the goat with the quarterback. So with that added pressure, and as you mentioned, you know, they got a pretty star-studded offensive committee there inside that huddle. And here you got a fourth-round draft pick, Dak Prescott, who took charge of that group and got him under control. And that's not always easy to do with players. We almost said T.O. because you got T.O. on the mind there. But Dez Bryant.
That's good. I want you to keep
thank you.
T.O. in your mind.
Dez Bryant, who wants the ball all the time. But Prescott did a great job of controlling that offense and saying, look, guys, I'm the leader. But then he was humble enough to say, yeah, it's still Tony's team, so not creating a controversy. That's character right there.
Right in week two, you could tell that the team was starting to believe in Dak. You know, like they, you could tell they were rallying around him. They believed in him, and they were going, you know, they were going to go to battle for him.
I mean, we almost had a week one comeback victory. Obviously,
right.
We talked about, you know, Terrell Williams.
We didn't really know what to expect week one, but then after that, you could see that the momentum was really starting to roll. And I think that Dak and Zeke both really made each other better. That's what makes the prospects for the future really positive, in my opinion, just because they, you know, they feed off each other so well.
Travis?
I don't think initially that Dez was all the way in. You know, we hear him. He was talking about Romo and the abs under the T-shirt. But there was a moment in time in the Cleveland game where I saw Dez come off the field, you know, and he's bitching and moaning about not getting the ball. And I saw Prescott grab him by his jersey. And I don't know what he said to him, but it seemed like from that point on, it was like, look, man, we're all here for one job. I'm throwing to who's open. If you want the ball, get open, and I'll get it there. Because he definitely had no problem delivering it. Like I said, four turnovers on the season, well, four interceptions on the season, never seeing that type of game speed before, you got to tip your hat to the kid.
100%. And then he, obviously, that's a great point you brought up, because he definitely gained the respect of Dez Bryant to kind of quiet him down and let him know, look, man, we got to do this together, all together.
And that's important, because when your star kind of falls in line or gets behind your quarterback, then everyone else is going to look at him and say, well, you know, we've all got to get on board too.
You know what, Travis brings a good point, because – you might be looking at that quarterback as, you know what, you're still nothing. And then
you haven't proven yourself
yet. And then Dak comes over to him and says, hey, you know what, I'm trying to make things happen, but I need your help. And that might have – I think it's a beautiful thing that he did right there. He confronted Dez, and the rest is history. I really honestly think that we're going to make some noise. What do you think, Travis, about – this free agency thing. Now, this whole damn thing popped up with Adrian Peterson. Is it real? Is it not real? What's your call on that?
I remember the same things last year with Adrian Peterson, you know, which way are we going to go with running back, things of that nature. The way I look at the free agency, if I'm sitting in that room, when it comes time to discussing players, I got two players on my mind that need to be re-signed immediately. At first, you
want
to keep that offensive line intact, so you got to get Leary. You got to make sure
you
keep that guy.
I agree.
And now, when we get into talking about skill positions, and you're talking about the wide receiver, and I know everybody's saying, hey, you can go and get a number two, and Terrence Williams, you know, he has the butterfingers, and everybody remembers week one, but this kid, he makes good plays. He gets us down the field at sometimes when Dez just can't get open or he just can't get the ball. And when you think about it, if you go out, you get your number two wide receiver in the draft. So if Dez goes down, then that rookie wide receiver, that's a lot of pressure on his shoulders. And you can go back over time, whether it was Galloway, whether it was Roy Williams, whether it was these guys that we thought that were really going to show up, but they were past their prime. And now that we're right here on the cusp, I wouldn't just sit him down and be done with him so fast to go out and, you know, get one of these flash in the pan guys, because you think back a few years ago to a Mike Williams or even Michael Crabtree, these guys that were so high on everybody's list, but they still haven't come up in the big game. With Terrence Williams, and Romo speaks to this a lot, you know, this kid's come a long way since he's been a rookie, and he may not be ready to be a number one, but he can be a great number two. I've been a Cowboys fan since 91, and when you look back on that team, you had Michael Irvin, Alvin Harper, and we would always have a guy that you could, you know, slide in there, whether it be a Kelvin Martin or somebody of that nature. So I would say he's already there. He already knows the offense. We've already got the buy-in from him. And, of course, the market, you know, he's going to demand a little money on the market. But what I truly believe is that he wants to be a Cowboy. I think he likes the little brother role that he plays to Dez Bryant and the rest of the guys. And when you're looking at all of our other free agents, you got to start looking at the defensive side of the ball. Barry Church, he had a great year without the injury. Who knows what could have happened there? We had a couple of games where the pad on his arm actually ruined a few interceptions. J.J. Wilcox, a guy that you did not think would make the 53-man roster, he came up. You know, he almost became our Ronnie Lott or our Steve Atwater enforcer back there. So when you're looking at those positions, you got to shore up that pass rush. The secondary is going to be the secondary.
Right.
You got a sixth-round pick in Brown who came up. You know, he played his heart out, and by the end of the year, he had Orlando scared, pretty worried about whether or not he was going to keep his job. So when you look at free agency, definitely keep Leary. You got to keep him there. You know, all the other guys that we have, you know, that were on the line this year, Joe Looney and those guys, some of those guys are liabilities to the blind spot. So we got to make sure we keep that covered. And, you know, like I said, if it was me, I would definitely look at trying to ensure that Terrence Williams is there next year as well.
Well, you know what? That's wishful thinking, because I really think that where Romo goes, I think that Terrence is going to follow him. I just got that feeling.
You know what? I just want to say this on that, because I think that's interesting. You said where Romo goes. And I posted last night, I don't think this quarterback issue is such an issue that everybody's making it out to be. Because when I'm looking at it from my view, it's all about what everybody's saying, what the Cowboys owe Romo. What about what Romo owes the Cowboys? Because when I look at it, up until this point, you know, he's been, they call him fragile, he's injury prone, and now he's everybody's, you know, number one free agency pick. If that guy couldn't stay healthy behind the offensive line that we have, especially in the process of trying to win a championship, when you're talking about trying to win a championship, I don't see too many teams out there that are ready made to win a championship that he could go to besides us. You talk about the salary, well, the money was already on the books. Jerry had already paid Tony before Dak came into the room. You know, Dak's making a little bit of money right now. And if I'm Romo, I look at it this way. I'm already on a ready-made team. This kid is going to play. You know, I do have to accept that, that this kid's going to play. But you got to know in the back of your mind, because the one thing that I keep hearing Jerry Jones say is that Tony Romo's going to compete for a championship. And I truly believe that he believes that it's going to be there in Dallas. I know Houston's calling. I know Kansas City calling, Arizona and all of those places. But I don't see them having those pieces. And I get that because Romo, he always speaks well of Terrence Williams. And I think he'll follow him. But to be honest, guys, I think they'll all still be sitting right there at Jerry's World.
Wow.
I second that. Wow. Well, and that's what makes the offseason so wow.
Especially in Dallas. I mean, this is who shot JR type of thing here. I mean, we're going to find out some things going down here in the next 2-3 months. And it's going to be interesting. I really see him going to AFC team because of the fact that he still wants to play. I think it's only fair that we allow him to play. I say we release him. I don't say we even trade him. I think he goes to possibly a Kansas City, possibly a Denver. But Travis brings up a good point. Mm-hmm. Your offensive line says it all. And if you don't have that offensive line, this is a fragile guy. This guy can break apart.
Yeah, there was some talk earlier about him going to Chicago, and I was like, what in the world? Earlier in the year, Chicago? Are you kidding me?
Right, and we've actually our offensive line has been good for several years, and he's still gotten hurt. Right, so you know, I mean, it's very delicate.
If he goes to if he goes to New York,
see him playing outside.
Oh, he's not going to New York.
If he goes to the Jets, they'll have to bury him out on the field because offensive line is horrible.
Well, there's so many teams.
Right.
That's horrible. Yeah, I think he's going to be selective. He doesn't want to go. I mean, he wants to play, yes.
But he will
He wants to play. He's not going to go there just to get, you know, thrashed.
But Jerry did say he will play on a Super Bowl team. Now, that kind of throws you to make you think that it's not going to be the NFC. If it's not me as the Cowboys, it's some AFC team. So that right there tells me that if he does trade him, it will go to AFC.
Well, I know we started this discussion a few weeks ago about we need a pass rush. Oh, Von Miller.
God damn. That would love
flop.
That.
I would love that.
Miller, Jesus Christ.
They need a quarterback. We need a pass rush.
Yeah, but they'll give up their entire defense, and they're not going to give it up for this aging guy that's had Every right. bone in his back broke.
Think about Cowboys and Broncos in the Super Bowl.
And what is this, guys, right now? What's this with DeMarcus Ware coming back to Dallas? Well, why do I want him?
DeMarco sees the light.
Yeah. He sees the light. Well, I don't want to show him the door, though.
We want him.
Yeah.
Right, I think he wants us more than we want him.
Yeah. I mean, come on, man. Just retire, pal. I mean, I love you, and I'll even put you in the Ring of Stars, but I'm
not going to pay you for it anymore.
I'm not going to pay you. Yeah. I don't want to pay. Yeah. I'll give you a one-day contract.
Yeah, so you can retire, Cowboy, sure. Retire.
But anyway.
My only concern at the quarterback is this. We see what we have. We know who we are. Everybody's, you know, they're excited about Dak. Tony Romo is the league's shiny new toy. But again, if I'm the Cowboys, we saw what Sanchez did against Philly, and it looks like Kellen Moore may be heading to the clipboard side over there with Wade Wilson. And if that happens, right now we have the best problem in the league of having the two best quarterbacks. I just would hate, because if you think back to the Baltimore game, there was a tackle that Dak took right before one of the breaks on the sideline. It looked like he could have been injured, and everybody had that collective gasp. Who's going to be the guy that's running in there? I feel a lot comfortable about an aging number nine running on the field than a Mark Sanchez, and there's really no one else out there.
Agreed. I totally agree with you. It's up to number nine what he wants to do. I guess that's what we're talking because, and that's respect from the Cowboys. We understand you're a starter. Jerry's grandkids, the starter, the QB's number nine. I mean, that's how much love they have for the guy. And that is so cool that as an organization, we respect that, and we will let him do what he wants to do. And we will Jerry's always been loyal to his players, his outstanding players. All of them have been treated with class. They could go to Dallas anytime. You won't see a Charles Oakley situation in Dallas.
Oh, you definitely won't.
I mean, Jerry loves his ball players. I mean, there won't be anyone coming out of the fan stands ripping on anyone out there. But anyway, Travis, thanks for being on, my man. I appreciate it.
Great input, buddy. Great input.
Yeah, you were great, man. Oh, we'd love to have you on in the future, too.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for having me. You know, I'd definitely love to come on again. And one thing before I go, I'd just like to say I agree with Joe. T.O. should definitely be in the Hall of Fame. And, you know, I know everybody talks about the character issues and the locker room issues. I want to see how those voters react next season when Randy Moss is up for the Hall of Fame. Ooh. And if he gets in on the first ballot, that's definitely going to show that this is a personal thing
it is.
With Terrell Owens, and it ain't got nothing to do with the numbers.
Because when Moss played for Belichick, he was quiet there. He was such a good guy.
Right, he was quiet there.
He didn't do anything wrong. He did everything Belichick. That's what you're going to get out of that. That's what you're going to get out of the media.
Right.
But I'm telling you, every time he played, every time T.O. stepped out on the field, I don't care what he did off the field, which he didn't do anything off the field.
He was on the field.
He did stuff on the field. All right.
You know what? We'll talk about it. But
I've never been in any trouble.
Never. The guy didn't even drink. Are you kidding me? Yeah. Anyway.
Patrick Creighton said everybody had the same issues with Romo. T.O. the only one man enough to step out and say it. But again, love you guys. Going to keep listening to the show. Dallas Cowboys for life. Super Bowl on the horizon.
Well, thank you.
Well said, buddy. Well said.
Thank you, Travis. Thanks for being on, my man. We will catch up soon.
Thanks, Travis.
Take care.
Have a great week.
All right, thank you.
Man.
All right.
All right. That was Travis. And he's got some good insight, man.
Wow, very
and
good insight.
He definitely agreed with me on Teal. So
that's all John O'Care is
finally,
about.
Finally, we tie a nice little bow on it here.
I'm glad Travis did, or this show going to 2 hours. We had to call more guests to see him.
I'll find him, smart Alec. Anyway, my friends, catch up our show on lineupmedia.fm, and you could catch CowboyPodcast.com. You've got some great stuff on Amazon. Shop away. Click on CowboysPodcast.com. And on the right-hand side, there's Amazon. You click on Amazon, you shop, and we get a little love back. So we appreciate that. And thanks a lot, guys. Our hour went by so fast. And we will do it next week. Take care. Cowboy Nation, take care out there.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Tune in next week for another edition of the Cowboys Podcast on lineupmedia.fm. Subscribe to the show now at cowboyspodcast.com, on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, and all major podcast outlets.
Today's show is presented by DaVinci Smart Drink. Order yours now at lineupmedia.fm/DaVinci. DaVinci, excite better thinking.
Need a mental boost? DaVinci Smart Drinks were designed with professional thinkers in mind. With key ingredients shown to improve cognitive function and increase mental energy, DaVinci Smart Drinks excite better thinking. Drink a DaVinci. Let it go to your head.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.